Well, good morning. Glad to have each one here today. Thankful for the Lord's blessings to all of us. We're thankful for a beautiful day outside. And as the seasons have changed to fall, I'm grateful for the blessings of fall. Sometimes, I don't know. Some people feel that one season is better than the other or something like that, but I'm just very grateful for each season and the blessings of that. And there's something about fall that's kind of special. So my message this morning is going to hinge somewhat off of the testimony I gave you earlier. I'd like for us to go to Proverbs, the fourth chapter. Probably one of the most stained pages in my Bible. My fingers have went to this place many, many times. I've found a lot of strength and a lot of courage and a lot of direction from the fourth chapter of Proverbs. I've also given a lot of instruction to my children at family worship time from the fourth chapter of Proverbs. So I'd like to write a little title on the board, and the title is, "With All Thy Getting." So I'd like to begin reading in the first verse of the fourth chapter of Proverbs. It says, "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." So as your children get older, and those of you that are older children here, this is a wonderful place to start a family worship scenario. It says, "Hear ye the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." It says, "For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." So Solomon, I believe, the writer, is saying, I am trying to perpetuate something that happened to me. Solomon said that. So I'm going to tell you, I would like to try to perpetuate something that happened to me. As a young man growing up, having an atmosphere in the home where my parents taught me the right things to do and the things to stay away from, and the parameters they said and established. I still remember the times that my mother told me, if you run with the wrong crowd and you happen to get picked up by the law and put in jail, I'll come and see you, but I won't bail you out. She told me that when I was too small to get picked up by the police. All right. She told me that when I was 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. She didn't wait till I was 16 to tell me that. And she said, "I'll come see you, but I won't bail you out." And you know, at 5 or 6 or 7, you believe your parents. And I believe my parents. And it stuck with me, and it was one of those deterrents when I thought about getting into mischief as I got older. I'm just telling you, I'd like to perpetuate what I was taught and how I was trained and the things that went into my upbringing. He said, I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thy heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. If you will listen to godly parents, if we will listen to godly instruction, it'll help us to enjoy life and give us a real comfortable profit margin in our peace of mind. He says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Talking about wisdom. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Wisdom. We could probably all come up with a definition that was meaningful to us about wisdom and what it means and what it entails and the boundaries of wisdom and all of that. But wisdom in knowing what we ought to do, knowing how to make a good decision, all of that is important and it's valuable. And as children are small, you tell them what to do and what your expectations are. And you give them the bound, and as they get older, you begin to teach them why this is wise and why this is advisable and why this is a profitable thing. And at some point, you can become a counselor and you begin to ask them for their input and their perspective. When I think of this seventh verse, it says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. When I moved out of my parents' house, I was 19 years old, and I moved to Vinita, Oklahoma, which was about a 7 or 8 hour drive from my parents' house. And my purpose for moving there was so that I could get better acquainted with Anita. That's really what it was all about. And I moved there and went to work at a Chevrolet store. And I had not taken any trade school training, but I had completed an online antique version of an online class. It was a correspondence class where you read the material, you took a test and mailed it off, and they mailed you back your score. It was actually like pencil marks on my test that came back. It was not clicking and highlighting and none of that stuff. We didn't have computers. Not like that. Anyway, no internet. That was before the internet. And so I had, if you wanted to talk about gear ratios and compression ratios and camber and caster and toe and torque specifications and all, I knew it all. I knew all of that. I knew, had all of that wisdom, and I was 19 because I'd went through the book. I'd passed all the tests. I'd made a good score. I had completed the curriculum. I thought I was ready to go to work. And I did. But I didn't have the understanding of everything that I needed to understand. And I find, as you've heard my testimony earlier in the service, I find that there's still a lot of things that I don't have as much understanding as I need when I come up against a problem. And I had the pastor and the congregation there. At Four Corners was a man that I looked up to as a role model and a mentor in my life. Brother Clifford Wilson, those of you that some of you may have known him and some didn't because it's been a while. He's Brother Ed Wilson's father. And when I moved there, he made me feel very welcome. And I didn't have a phone. I didn't have a phone in the house I lived in, and I didn't have a cell phone, obviously, because they didn't make them yet. And if you wanted to get a hold of me, you called me at work or you come by my house. I mean, some of us remember those days. And so he told me, he said, "You're welcome to come over anytime." And that's pretty open-ended because there was no sending a text and saying, "I'm coming over." There was no calling him. I just would show up. And I did. Not every day, but I would go to visit him, and he was not a mechanic, although he was a very intelligent man. He would ask me how things were going on my job, and we would talk about spiritual things and our relationship with the Lord. And as our discussion, I don't know just how long I stayed. I forgot how long it was that I would spend. I don't know that I hardly ever went and ate a meal with them. I may have once or twice, he and his wife. But I just go to visit with Brother Clifford. Sometimes it was in his little study, and sometimes it was out in his workshop. Where he was working with wood on several things. And before I would go, he would always say, "Let's have prayer." And in his prayer, he would always pray that the Lord would bless my hands, that they'd be skillful. And I don't know what all he had in mind at the time. But I don't know that he realized just how valuable that was going to be to me. But he did it with sincerity of heart. And it set a precedence in my life and in my heart that when I face the things that I don't know and the things that I don't understand and the things that I don't know where to look in the book, whether it's my service information or this book, and it's like, I don't, where do I find the answer to that? Sometimes life can be very overwhelming, and because we feel that we don't know and we don't know where to turn, many times we begin to feel, as our current culture would say, stressed, and we feel a lot of pressure, and we feel that, you know, our courage starts to diminish, and we begin to start feeling that maybe life is not so fun anymore, and there's a lot of things that start spiraling out of control. But I always have to go back to His counsel and His prayer that the Lord would make our hands skillful, our minds skillful. I pray that for myself, and I pray that for others. The Lord would bless you all and make you skillful with your hands and your minds, because it's of the Lord that we're able to do what we're able to do. So, I want to go back and look at this phrase that I've wrote on the board. Seventh verse said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Get the knowledge and get all of that you can. But he goes on to say, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, I looked at some of what the commentators said, and they seem to refer to this phrase, with all your getting, as it's referring to while you're attaining and acquiring other things in your life, don't forget to get an understanding of the Lord. And that seems to kind of lower the value of what I see in this verse. So I want to try to impress on you the desperation that I see in this verse. And if you feel that it's out of context, or somebody else tells you, well, that's not what it says, just bear with me and humor me a little bit this morning. It says, with all of thy getting, all of your getting. Anytime you say all, that means it's at the maximum level. There's many times that to recreate a symptom in a piece of mechanical machinery, like an automobile, to be able to recreate the symptom, I push it to its limits. I know what it feels like in a lot of vehicles to hold the accelerator on the floor. Not indefinitely, but I know what it feels like. And I do it on purpose, because I want to see what all it can do. Every bit of it. Not 75% and not 35%. I want to see what 100%, because I want to see it under full load. I want to do it before I make a repair, and I want to do it after I make a repair, because I want it to be able to perform at full capacity. He says, with all of your getting, all of your ability to get, not just in all of your getting of, you know, just in your everyday thing. I want us to think about our capacity to get. Have you ever told someone to get something? You know what I'm talking about. If you say to your family member, would you get me a glass of water? What does that mean? That means maybe in your house, it means to go to the cabinet and take out a glass and go to the refrigerator and get some ice and some water out of the door of the refrigerator and bring it back to you. Right? That's fair enough. Now, there was a time that that's not what get a glass of water meant. Sometimes that meant to go out and put a bucket down in a well and lift it up. And you remember, David was desirous of some water from a well in Bethlehem, wasn't it? Or Jerusalem? In Bethlehem. And three of his mighty men broke through the ranks of the enemy to get some water for David. There was a lot more getting involved for those three mighty men than there is for you to go to the cabinet and the door on the refrigerator and get some ice water. There was a lot more getting involved. So the Proverbs writer here says, with all of your getting. I want us to consider all of our getting this morning more on the order of the three mighty men that pressed through the ranks into Bethlehem to get water from that specific spring, from that specific stream. With all of your getting. Jesus said in the 5th chapter of Matthew in the 6th verse, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Have you ever really been hungry for something? I mean, we think we get hungry in our United States. But I'm going to tell you that we probably don't really understand what it means to be hungry. We don't know what it's like in my generation. Maybe a few generations ago they did, but in my generation, I don't know what it's like to grow up and there not be some food in the house. Might not be what you want. You might have to eat some cottage cheese when you don't like cottage cheese. We can say we're hungry for something, just not hungry for what mama fixed for supper. You know, there was a time that I told some of my boys that weren't hungry at supper time. And it was because they were just trying to turn up their nose at something a little bit. And I told them, I said, it'll taste better now than it will cold in the morning for breakfast. You know, I'm not warming it up. You can either eat that, what your mother fixed. It's nice and warm and it's tasty and it's good for you. You can either eat it now or you can eat it in the morning cold for breakfast. Which one do you want? They didn't think they were hungry. Well, it's because they didn't know what hunger really was about. And Jesus said, blessed are ye that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for ye shall be filled. You know, many times our hunger for righteousness is kind of like our hunger for food and our getting. We feel so self-sufficient because we have so much in our world that it's hard for us to know what it means to get with all of our getting, to hunger like we're really hungry. But I want to challenge us this morning to get with all of your getting. Don't just give it a lick and a promise. That's an old saying. That just means, well, it's close enough. You ever heard that expression, close enough for horseshoes and hand grenades? You know, you can score in a game of horseshoes and not have a ringer. You can just kind of get close to the stake and make a point. Well, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about with all of your getting, throw a ringer. You're in horseshoes. In your life, with all in all of your getting, all of your ability to get, put some effort in. Jesus says, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. If we are hungry, we're going to make a way where we can find something to eat. Now, the other morning, our dog had barked a lot during the night, and I got up to go to work, and there was a fresh dead raccoon out there on the road. I'd seen him the night before we went in, and I'm really not sure what happened to the raccoon, but he was laying in the road, and he wasn't one of those that was splattered. He'd just been fresh killed. You know what I did with him? I let him lay there all day. And that evening, I picked him up and got rid of him, disposed of him, because I didn't want him out in my front yard. But you know what I would have done if I was hungry? We would have skinned that raccoon, and I would have ate it. I've ate raccoon before. Can't say that it's my favorite, but I've ate it before. It was kind of an experiment. But if I was hungry, I'd eat a raccoon. But I'm not that hungry. You know, sometimes people look at righteousness and learning what a relationship with the Lord is about. I think sometimes they look at it like eating a raccoon. It's like, I don't know. You know, it's kind of an experiment. My mama cooked that raccoon, and none of us asked her to cook another one. But I'd learn how to eat a raccoon, and my wife could learn how to cook it if we were hungry. That's the point. With all of your getting, get understanding. With all of, put the effort in it like your life depends on it. And because chicken and beef and pork is so readily available in my life, I am not pressed to learn how to cook all of the wildlife that's around my house. It's just a trial on me to have to pick up dead possums and dead raccoons and maybe a snake. But I'm going to tell you, if I didn't have chicken and pork and beef, we'd be eating possums and raccoons. If we were hungry. I'm not that hungry. I'm just being real honest with you this morning. I'm not that hungry. It says, with all of your getting, get understanding. All of your getting. That drive to get. You know, some people are driven to get some things in life. You remember in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, maybe we'll turn there briefly. 1 Kings chapter 19. He says here, this is, I want to begin reading the 5th verse. This is Elijah after he'd been threatened by Jezebel. And he said in the 5th verse, it says, and he lay down and slept under a juniper tree. And behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on a coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid down again. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but my perception is he didn't sleep overnight. He just laid down because he was exhausted from his experience. He was discouraged. He was down in the mouth, all of those kind of things. And it says in the 7th verse, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time. I think he just barely laid down and was trying to close his eyes and thinking, Lord, what am I going to do now? That's what was going on in Elijah's head. The angel come and touched him the second time, said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights into Horeb, the mount of God. Now, all of us here, I know, have had plenty to eat. I'm sure none of you have growling tummies this morning. But Elijah was not in that situation at this time, but he arose and he ate two meals, one right behind another. And I don't know about you, but if I sit down and eat until I'm satisfied. And then I lean back in my recliner and I take a little nap and somebody taps me on the shoulder and says, it's time to eat again. It's like, no, I'm not hungry. You know, sometimes we feel satisfied coming here to service. I hope you do. You feel like you've had some of your appetite met and you feel that that urge of hunger for a little bit of contact with the Lord, it's been kind of satisfied. But I don't want you to go home and take a nap and relax. I want you to remember it's with all of your getting, get understanding. Don't take it that I just come to church to get a little understanding and it helps me kind of keep the ball kicked down the road a little bit. Or kick the can down the road, however you want to say that, use that expression. But I want us to realize that there's an urgency here. You need to eat on your own with all of your getting. Thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for your interest. Thank you for your desire. But with all of your getting, get understanding. You might have to go 40 days. Elijah went 40 days in the strength of two meals. And I think they were two meals back to back. I don't think they were two meals 8 hours apart, 4 hours apart, something like that. I believe they were probably within 15 or 20 minutes of one another. Now it says, going back to our phrase, with all you're getting, get understanding. That's what it says in Proverbs. What does it mean to get understanding? I'd like to read a little bit about what it means to get an understanding. One commentator said this, "Do not be contented with the lessons of wisdom merely. Do not be satisfied with having a sound religious creed. Devils believe and tremble. But see that thou properly comprehend all that thou hast learnt." Do you hear that? I'm going to read that again. "See that thou properly comprehend all that thou hast learned." You know what that means? "And see that thou rightly apply all that thou hast been taught." So, I want to tell you about a phenomena that I've observed. I worked with a man a little over 20 years ago. And his family, for his birthday or something like that, would send him some Omaha steaks. Y'all ever heard of that? And you know how Omaha steaks get delivered? They're packed in dry ice. Y'all know what dry ice is? So this man, he's a young guy, he would take some dry ice out of his package and he'd put it in a water bottle and pour just a little water in there, screw the lid on tight and shake it up and throw it out there, and it would lay there for maybe 10 seconds and then boom, it sounded like a giant firecracker. And one day, he got one of these, like a pop bottle, plastic pop bottle, like a 1 liter bottle. Put some dry ice in it. They're pretty sturdy, you know, they're not flimsy like a water bottle. Pretty sturdy plastic bottle, put some dry ice in it, put some water in it, screwed the lid on, shook it up, throwed it out there. We waited. We give up on it. We was afraid to go check on it. Now, if y'all go do this, you boys do this, y'all going to try it someday. So just throw it, okay? Don't hold on to it. We waited. It was probably 10 minutes, and all of a sudden it went off, and it was really loud. It sounded like somebody shot a shotgun out behind the shop. So you know why that happens? You know what dry ice is? What is it? You said you nodded. What is it? What's it made out of? What's that? Nope, not made out of water. What's that? Close. It's frozen carbon dioxide. So carbon dioxide, it's not just brought down to a liquid, it's frozen in a solid block. And if you have dry ice, this is why it's called dry ice. If you put some dry ice in this jar, in this glass this morning, because don't put it in a glass of water, okay? You'll have an eruption. But if you had, this glass was empty, and you put dry ice in this, and it thawed, when at the end of it thawing, you know that glass would still be empty? There'd be no liquid in there. Because at atmospheric pressure, dry ice turns to a gas. It don't ever stay at a liquid state, okay? So, if we would bring a cube of dry ice into this chapel, about 3 foot by 3 foot, you know, about like this, if we had a block of dry ice that big, brought it in here and set it inside of a balloon, and tied that balloon off and let that thing thaw, did you know that that balloon would fill this whole building? I did the math, okay? A cubic foot of dry ice becomes 828 cubic feet of carbon dioxide at atmospheric pressure. So it's, now you boys put your thinking caps on this morning. If atmospheric pressure is 14.3 psi, and I put something in there that's going to expand 828 times, how much dry ice does it take to make a water bottle explode? Now, I just throwed a bunch of variables in there because you don't know how much pressure it takes to blow the water bottle up. But I'm going to tell you it'll take somewhere between 50 and 100 pounds, depending on the bottle. I'll tell you later how I know. Now, I probably told you more about dry ice than you really wanted to know. Maybe some of your wheels are real spinning now. And I probably asked you a question that you really could care less, some of you. You don't care how much pressure it takes to blow up dry ice or blow up a water bottle. But you know that by doing just a little bit of research, I have an understanding. I hope you remember 828, okay? If I have a cubic inch of dry ice, it becomes 828 cubic inches of carbon dioxide when it thaws, if you put it in a balloon, okay? That's a pretty big balloon, isn't it? 828 cubic inches? Y'all can amaze somebody with your knowledge someday. But the understanding that I have from that helps me to know why dry ice and water, because water makes it thaw quicker, will blow up a water bottle or a pop bottle or something else. To get an understanding, this is the point I want us to make here. To get an understanding means that you've studied it well enough that you know what it takes to make it behave or perform the way it does. So I had another situation. My place of work, somebody give me a clock that's backlit. You know, it's got this little neon looking light around the numbers on the dial. And so I hung it up by my toolbox and plugged it in. Looks kind of cute. It's not, you wouldn't put it in your house, okay? But it looks good in a workshop. So I plugged it in and it was there for a few months, and all of a sudden I'm realizing I got a lot of spiders around my toolbox. I mean, there's spider webs all over the place in these big granddaddy long legs and all kinds of other. And you get spider webs and then bugs get caught in the spider web. It's a mess. It looks like a mess. It is a mess. I don't look at the other fellows in their toolbox and they don't have spider webs around their toolbox. Why does my toolbox have spider webs? Why does my toolbox have spider webs? Anybody know? What's that? The neon light. What about the neon light? It attracts what? Yeah, it attracts bugs. And if you got bugs around the light, then what does that attract? Spiders. Spiders eat the bugs. So what do spiders do to catch the bugs? They spin webs and they collect bugs. And then the bugs are in the spider webs. So you know what I did? I unplugged the light. You know why I unplugged the light? Because I don't like spider webs. I don't like this messy looking thing. And how did I come to that conclusion? Is because I understand. I got an understanding. How do we get an understanding of the Scripture? It's because we read it and we study it and we ask the Lord, Lord, how does this apply to my life? Is it, how do I fit this into my what I already know? And then I prove it. I have proved, I'm testifying to you young men this morning and all of you really, I have proved the Lord and found that He is faithful to make my hands and my mind skillful. He's been there for me at the times that I've been at wit's end corner and I did not know which way I was going to go. I did not know what the right answer was and I didn't know where to look for it. You would think that there's a book somewhere with all of the answers to it. I'm going to tell you that the only one I can safely depend in on is the Lord. Many times, He's directed me to go to some book. Sometimes it seems like it's almost like He's spoken to me. And I want you to know that it's only because of all of my getting. I want to get understanding. I want you to, with all of your getting, not just a humdrum of going through life and I got to get some bread and I got to get some cheese and I got to get some gas for the car. And oh, by the way, I got to get in a position where the Lord can talk to me once in a while. No, that's not what I'm talking about. With all of your getting, with your, you've got to put some focus into this. You want to be successful as in my trade, you're going to have to put some effort into it. Don't just think you can go to 2 years of school or 4 years of school and come out and be able to do the job that I do on a day in, day out basis without continually learning. You'll find out you don't have it all. I did. That's what I found. And you could take that to any trade that's out there, any occupation. You have to continually get understanding. You have to be able to prove it to yourself. I know what caused it, and I know what it done to fix it. Maybe it's more prevalent in the repair than it is in other industries, but I know what caused the problem. and I know what I did to fix it. I can prove it to myself, and if you really want to know, I can prove it to you. That's getting an understanding. And I want to challenge us with all of your getting. Put some effort into it. Eat the word like you mean it. You ever seen that in a restaurant? There's somebody that advertises that way. Eat like you mean it. Eat the word like you mean it. Eat twice if you need. You might have to go a ways on this one. You might have to go a ways on this message. You might have to chew on it a while. But I want to challenge you this morning with all of your ability to get understanding. With all of your purpose in life, get understanding of the Lord, of His ways, of the way to be successful for the Lord, of how to keep your foot from evil, and how to keep your eyes looking straight on. And go back and read this fourth chapter, read it all, because the end of it ends up really good. It tells you don't turn to the right hand or the left. It talks about let your eyelids look right on, straight ahead. Stay on the path. And the way you do that is by getting, with all of your getting, get understanding. I want you all to get an understanding that'll equip you to be able to handle the faces and the fronts and the attacks of the enemy. By the grace of God, we can be acceptable. And we can be successful. And just as Brother Clifford prayed for me to be skillful, I want you to know I'm praying for you to be able to get understanding and to be successful in your walk for the Lord. You pray for me.